You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 3. And we've been amazed in our last two times in the book of Leviticus just to see how there's so many wonderful truths in an Old Testament book, all pointing to none other than Jesus. Leviticus chapter 3, and tonight we're going to look at the peace offering. So far, we've looked at the burnt offering, which speaks of the total dedication of ourselves to the Lord. We dedicate ourselves to the Lord by presenting all that we are and all that we have to Him. And in the burnt sacrifice, you remember that the entire sacrifice was burned on the altar, saying, Lord, I belong to You. Everything I have belongs to You. Use it however You would. I'm not even going to put my hands on it anymore. It's Yours. Our complete dedication to the Lord. We also looked at the meal offering or the grain offering, which has to do with our thankfulness to the Lord for all that He's done. And a portion of the meal offering was burned on the altar as a memorial, and a reminder, or the remainder of it, was given to the priest. It was their daily bread. We talked about how we're to trust the Lord for His provision. And then a third offering that represents a person's dedication to the Lord is the drink offering. We're not going to look at that for a couple of weeks. But the drink offering represents a life that's totally poured out in dedication to the Lord. And those three offerings represent our dedication to God. And now in chapter 3 of Leviticus, we have the peace offering. And that peace offering represents our dependency upon the Lord. Do we really realize how dependent we are upon Him, or are we just taking all of His blessings for granted? Some translations call it the fellowship offering because it's the only offering out of the six offerings that the offerer is allowed to participate in the eating of this offering. Otherwise, only the priest eat of it, or it's all burned up on the altar. But in verse 1, and we're going to read this and we'll go back and take a look at it. It says, when his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hands on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails or the inwards, and all the fat that is on the inwards, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire as an offering made by fire. And notice, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hands on the head of his offering, it shall kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar, on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. Its fat, the whole fat, tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat in the covers of the inwards, and all the fat that is on the inwards, the two kidneys and the fat that's on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver and above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, lay his hands on his head, kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the inwards and all the fat that is on the inwards, the two kidneys and the fat that's on them by the flanks, the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys. He shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all of your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. The peace offering, the issue And what it's all about is fellowship. You're enjoying this together with the Lord, and thanksgiving. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It was a common greeting. Now remember that the burnt offering and the meal offering were both offerings of dedication, and so is the peace offering. It was a free will offering. In other words, it was voluntary. The sin offering was the one that was not voluntary. You sinned, you better bring an offering. But the peace offering was a gift that was offered by the offerer voluntarily. You know, the whole world is talking about peace today. It's on bumper stickers, it's everywhere. And what peace is the cessation of hostility. But according to the Bible, that's not all that it is. Peace is not only the cessation of hostility, but it's also tranquility in the middle of difficult circumstances. There are lots of things that can come along in our lives and take our peace. Strained relationships, the loss of loved ones, financial stress, those we know and love that don't know the Lord, news that we don't have long to live, all of those things can come and seek to destroy peace. There are all kinds of things that can trouble our hearts and cause us to lose our peace. And the peace offering is a message that we all need to hear. There's a lot about this. Jesus said, the peace that I give, it's not like the world's peace, but it's a peace that passes all understanding. You can't even talk to the world about it. But in verses 1 and 6 and 7 and 12, we have the presentation of the peace offering. And the first thing we notice is that we're the ones that have to do this. It's voluntary. But a lot of us are not seeking the peace of God. We have peace with God. Once we come to Christ, we put down our weapons of warfare against the Lord. But we need the peace of God. And we are not bringing the peace offering, so to speak, because we don't sense our dependency upon the Lord as we should. But it says when his offering, verse 1, is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, which would be an ox or a bullock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Verse 3 says that he shall offer it, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. In verse 6 it says, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. Verse 9 says, he shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And then verse 12, if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And then verse 14 says, he shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. In other words, the person is seeking peace with God, fellowship with God, seeking to show God and to articulate to God their dependency upon him. It's something that we need to do. Leviticus 7:30 says, his own hands shall bring the peace offering to the Lord. And so we are the ones who bring the sacrifice of a peace offering to the priest. The priest didn't do it for them. They were the ones that laid their hands on it, which wasn't none of the other sacrifices they did. You were the one that killed it. Normally the priest would do that. And then the priest would sprinkle the blood on the altar, and then you would participate in the eating of it, picturing the fellowship together that you had with the Lord. And so the person, the offerer, is actually involved in the actual sacrifice. It was willing, free will to the Lord. You're sensing your dependence upon the Lord, and so you come just blessed because of all that the Lord has provided for you, and so you want to seek peace between you and the Lord, which opens the way to fellowship. the enjoyment of each other's presence. At the dedication of the temple, King Solomon's temple, it says Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, and it goes on to number all the different things that were offered, all the different peace offerings, which amounted to 142,000 peace offerings. They were a time of joy and thanksgiving for all that God had done. And King Solomon was just expressing his thankfulness. And at the same time, he and his people had an opportunity to fellowship together with the Lord and with one another. It's the one offering that you could eat together. The word peace means to bind the two together, binding our hearts to God and the bringing of all of God's people together. That's what Jesus is going to do when he shows up to set up his kingdom on this earth. The Prince of Peace will bring peace, not like the world knows, but a peace that passes all understanding. The Jews refer to this as a thanksgiving offering, a peace offering. But you brought it yourself. It was your expression of your thankfulness to the Lord, your understanding of being dependent upon Him. There were differences in the peace offerings that were offered and what they all represent. In verses 1 through 5, you could offer a peace offering from the herd, meaning a cattle or an ox or a cow, a bull even. In verses 6 through 11, it was from the flock, which would be a sheep or a lamb. And in verses 12 through 17, it's a goat. Three different possibilities. And as with the other offerings that we discussed previously, we believe that the reason for these different offerings had to do with the person's ability and their wealth. Not everyone had a cow to offer. Not everybody could do that. And so they could offer a lamb or a goat. No birds are mentioned, as they are with the burnt sacrifice. It'd be a little hard to have a festive meal with a bird, wouldn't it? You know, you bring a pigeon. What, I mean, who could you really fellowship with, you know? But what do you do if you're poor? You know, I can't really provide a cow or a goat or a lamb. All you could afford was a bird, maybe. Well, according to tradition, the poor were always invited to eat with those that were more fortunate and could offer this. In case you aren't thinking, that's a picture of the early church's agape feast. Paul talked about bringing and providing for others that couldn't provide for themselves. See, a lot of these Old Testament sacrifices and all were pictures and are related to things in the New Testament. And of course, all of them point to none other than Jesus. According to Deuteronomy 15, our hearts should be willing to share what we have with others. And the idea in this offering, this peace offering, is that we're grateful to the Lord for all that He's done. And because we are, we want to share that with others. It's a wonderful thing. So even though the poor couldn't afford the offering, they were invited to fellowship together and enjoy with those that could. And I think, what a blessing. But in the three possibilities, from the herd, from the flock, or of a goat, all of those speak of some aspect of Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is so multifaceted in all of His glory that He could never be fully represented by just one offering. There's so many things to Him. The ox, for example, which is from the herd, is always thought of in the sense of as a beast of burden. And our Lord is pictured as a servant by the fact that He came to serve. The book of Mark pictures Jesus Christ as the servant. And Mark says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And so the ox that's offered in the peace offering was giving His life and pointing at the same time to the life of Christ, who gave His life as a peace offering. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so Jesus was that servant that was represented by the offering of an ox. The lamb, for example, which is from the flock, we know speaks of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, he's the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't say a word. When if anybody had a defense, it was him. Didn't say a word. The lamb pictures the fact that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sins. The goat. In the eyes of the Jews, the goat was always the one that bore the sins of the people or carried away the sins. On the Day of Atonement, one of the goats was killed. Its blood was shed and sprinkled on the altar. The other goat was, they laid hands on it, transferring the sins of the people onto this goat, and that goat was led out into the wilderness. It's called the scapegoat. You never saw that goat again. And the picture is our sins have been sent as far away as the east is from the west, never to be found again, never to be brought up again. The word forgiveness has built into it the fact of sending away. Isn't it good to know that our Lord will never, after we confess our sins and we're forgiven, never bring it up again? Sometimes I have a hard time forgetting it or forgiving myself, but the Lord doesn't. The book of Hebrews refers to Jesus as fulfilling both aspects of both goats. The goat that was killed for our sins and the scapegoat, the one that put away our sins. He's our sin bearer. Peter said, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And so when a Jew is reading this, that a goat was one of the possibilities as far as a peace offering, in his mind, he's thinking that goat represents the sins whose blood was spilled and who's been sent off into the wilderness, the sins forgiven. So he, automatically, the Jewish mind goes towards that. Our sin was laid on that goat. Paul said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. All of our sins were laid on him. So Jesus here is pictured in this peace offering as the servant, as our sacrifice, and the one who's borne our sins and carried them away. But did you notice the contrast between this offering, the peace offering, and the burnt offering? In the burnt offering, there was only a male could be offered. And we talked about that and the reasons because it pointed to Christ. But in the peace offering, you could offer a female or a male. Did you notice that? Verse 1, male or female. Verse 6, male or female. And with the goat in verse 12, it doesn't specify either. So either one is possible. But what's that all about? How should I know? No, we got a little more than that. It's the peace offering. The peace offering is that which brings the two together, binding together of people by the offering. It's a picture of the body of Christ and the unity of the body of Christ. He's our peace. Paul said he's made both Jew and Gentile one. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave or free, there's neither male or female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. All distinctions go away in Christ, pictured by the sin offering. Also, the peace offering was to be without blemish or defect. That's in verse 1 and verse 6. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world so that we may be holy and without blame. By the way, if he didn't choose us before and do it himself, then we wouldn't be found without blame or without blemish in eternity. But because he did it, we are. It all points back to the peace offering. Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross, and now we are holy and without blame before God. It's a beautiful picture. Ephesians 5:27, Paul speaking about the bride of Christ, he says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. And so we're to make these connections between the Old Testament sacrifices, that which is without blemish, and the New Testament church. And these, there's so many allusions to, in the Old Testament, allusions to New Testament truths that we've never made the connections. And that's why it's such a blessing to study the Old Testament. The process that's used in the peace offering, we find that in verses 2, verse 8, and verse 13. It says in verse 2, he shall lay his hands on the head of the offering and kill it. This is the offerer. At the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood all around the altar. In verse 8, he shall lay his hands on the head of the offering, kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar. Verse 13, he shall lay his hands on the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood of it all around the altar. So first of all, you yourself, if you're offering this peace offering, you lay your hand on the head of the offering. The offerer is doing this and not the priest. With the sin and trespass offering, when you laid your hands on the animal about to be killed, you did so as you were confessing your sins. It was a symbol of transferring the sin onto this innocent victim, this innocent animal that was going to die in your stead and in your place. But in this offering, you laid your hands on the animal because it's not a sin offering. You had to have something to say. There's a reason behind you offering this peace offering. You want to show your appreciation to the Lord, your dedication to the Lord, your dependency upon the Lord, and want to have fellowship with the Lord. And so you would lay your hands on this sacrifice, and maybe you'd say something like this, I'm bringing this sacrifice to you, God, because you've blessed me. And I want to have fellowship with you. I want to recommit myself to being dependent upon you. And it's all voluntary. And I think the symbolism there is just awesome. You know, when's the last time we said to the Lord, you know, I want to do something for you. I want to give something to you just to show you how much I appreciate what you've done for me. Secondly, you were to kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. That was right out in front of and outside of the holy place. The holy place always represented the place of worship. Remember we said the way to God is through sacrifice. You want to get close to God? Something has to die. Something has to be sacrificed. Something has to be given up. And even in the peace offering, we're reminded that it's important to our relationship to God that we do this before the Lord. The peace offering, the peace that we have, excuse me, is always related to and rooted in our relationship to the Lord. We need the peace of God. No matter what kind of sacrifice it was, whether it was of the herd or of the flock or of a goat, the blood was sprinkled before the altar. It says in Hebrews 9:24, and according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood. You can imagine the scene. First of all, the priest's garments were all stained with blood. Now yours are, if you're involved in this. And I don't know if you've ever been around a slaughterhouse. Doesn't smell real good. I remember following, this is years ago in Los Angeles, we saw the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. You know what I'm talking about? I saw it in town here one time as well. So we followed that thing to the slaughterhouse. I'm sorry we made it there. It stunk. So it smells. That's why the burning of the incense all the time. This is very graphic. There's blood everywhere. The animals had to be bled a certain way. They couldn't be strangled. They'd hang them up for 24 hours, drain all the blood out of them, and then wash them thoroughly. That's what kosher is. That's why we only eat Hebrew National hot dogs, you know. The fact is an interesting point that you're sacrificing this animal, but then the priest has to sprinkle the blood on the altar is a picture that there needs to be a mediator between us and God. Does everybody know who that is? There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. There's just so many wonderful pictures here. But we're told in Hebrews 9:11, Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. There's the tabernacle on earth was just a picture of the true tabernacle in heaven, the presence of God. That is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats. Christ appeared in heaven, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all. Once that was done. Somewhere between his death and resurrection, he presented his blood. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now there needs to be no more bloodshed. Praise God. Then there's this, did you notice when we read through this, all this stuff about, what's all this about the fat? In verse 16 it says, all the fat is the Lord's. And so some of us belong more to the Lord than others do, you know. Look at verse 3. The fat that covers the inwards and the fat that's on the entrails. Verse 4, two kidneys and the fat that's by them and the fatty lobe attached to the liver. Verse 9, this is a sacrifice from the flock. It's fat, the entrails and all the fat that's on the entrails, the two kidneys, verse 10, and the fat that's on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. What's that all about? Look at verse 14. If it's an offering of a goat, peace offering, the fat that covers the entrails, the fat that's on the entrails, the two kidneys, the fat that's on them, the flanks, the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. They cut off all the fat. Why? Because the fat belongs to the Lord. And it's burned on the altar. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. You've tried that low-fat stuff. It's not very good, is it? If it's low-fat or no-fat, it's because well, it's not very good. Let's just say that. I've tried it all. Low-sugar, low-fat, non-fat, and they might as well put no taste next to it. It's just how it is. The Lord knows something. It's that steak when you buy that's got all the marbling in it. That's what makes it good. If there's no marbling on it, there's no taste to it. Plus, it's not very tender. Don't cut the steak while you're cooking it. You let all the juices out. What's wrong with you? What? But God knows something about the fat. You know what it is? It's the best part. God says, I want your best. I wonder what's all the stuff about the fat? God says, I want your absolute best. Psalm 36, verse 8, they're abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. God's describing there the blessedness of the fellowship, and he describes it as a fatness. You understand it in the sense of how that fat makes the food so wonderful. I hate low-fat ice cream. The blessing of the land was described for the Jews when they went in as the milk of the flock, the butter from the cattle, the fat of lambs. Just flavorful. But it was all burned up on the altar. That's in verses 5, verse 11, and 16. It represents the finest, the best that we bring to the Lord. In Malachi chapter 1, God rebuked the people for keeping the fat. He's serious about it. And God really wanted to know if our loyalty was to him. He said, I want you to take that fatty part, just burn it up on it. No, you don't understand, it's so good. Yeah, that's what I want to check out your heart. So you bring home that wonderful ribeye steak, it's all marbled, wonderful, and you get that little piece of well, I don't even know what it is. You know, it's not no fat on it, you know, and that's what the part you eat the rest of it, you just burn up on the altar of the Lord. Man, that's some dedication, isn't it? That's what a picture there, you know. Who would do that? But see, that's what the Lord wants of us. He wants the finest we have. He doesn't want the leftovers. Are you giving the Lord your best? Am I? You know, it's an issue of compromising and cutting corners of what we know the Lord really wants and deserves from our lives. All the fat belongs to the Lord. Notice verses 5 and 16. This fat was a sweet aroma to the Lord. See, God is pleased and he notices when we give him our best. He's pleased when we recognize what he's done for us and we're thankful, and we're thankful to God, telling him thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the peace that I'm experiencing. Do we really recognize it all belongs to the Lord? That's the picture here. He deserves our best. Did you know that capitalism and communism are both wrong? I know you all like capitalism. And I know most of us don't like communism. We have our reasons for why. But you know, neither one belongs to the state or us. It belongs to the Lord. All of it does. And both of those things are wrong. It comes from his hand. And that's the picture here. Now, verses 17, the prohibition concerning fat and blood. This, it says, is a perpetual statute through all your generations and all of your dwellings. You shall neither eat fat nor blood. The blood that was shed was always a picture of God cleansing their sin. In the Old Testament, we're told in the blood is the life. So we respect life. In fact, whoever ate blood or drank blood or ate fat, that person was cut off from the Lord. It wasn't for hygiene. It had nothing to do with cholesterol or anything like that. It's a picture. In Leviticus chapter 7, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat or ox or sheep or the goat. The fat of a beast that dies naturally and the fat of what is torn by wild beast may be used in another way, but you may by no means eat it. You can make a candle with it if you want. Don't eat it, though. For whoever eats the fat of the beast of which men offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, that person who eats it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. That's kosher law. Did you know that the first church council in Acts chapter 15 never changed that for the church? That's why I don't eat blood pudding. Doesn't sound very good anyway, does it? No, that's, yeah. Acts 15:20, but that we write to them, this is the outcome of the church council, to the Gentiles, that they abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from things strangled, and from blood. That was never changed. So we ought to try and eat what we can with it's kosher, you know. And that brought the two, the Gentiles and the Jews, together. Because they saw eye to eye on something. When you brought your peace offering to the temple, a portion of that was given to the priest. The breast, if the breast is given to the peace, it's called a wave offering, and it's the breast was always the place of love. There's a picture there as well as that. If the shoulder was given to the priest, that's the place of strength. And each one of these things had pictured things. Now, the purpose of the peace offering. Number one, it's a reminder of to be thankful to the Lord for what he's done for us. You know, if we were to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and start to write down all the things we're thankful for, there's literally no end to it. The Lord has so blessed us. Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then the writer to Hebrews says, and don't forget to do good and to share. That's right out of the peace offering. To share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He looks at those kind of things like he did as the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Number two, it's to reveal the Lord as our peace offering. Ephesians 2:14 says, he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of division that was between us, meaning a Jew and a Gentile. So in the peace offering, we remind ourselves that he is our peace. And the idea, of course, is that we can both enter into that place of fellowship with the Lord, Jew and Gentile. And then thirdly, it's to remind us of our need for God's peace. We all, if we're believers, enjoy peace with God. But we need the peace of God when we're in difficult circumstances. Sometimes our worship is hindered by the lack of peace. We're in turmoil, we're troubled. And we need to find ourselves in that place, that tranquility in the middle of the storm. Jesus died to bring us together. And so in application, you know, you come to church and you want peace, you want to enjoy peace with God, but you're fighting with your brother in the Lord. So much for worship just goes out the window. Have you been there? Have you come to church sometime, whether on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and you've lifted up your hands and the Lord said, put those hands down till you get right with your brother. Has he ever done that to you? I left the house one night, kind of said some things to my wife, you know, and I went to church and thinking I could worship God, man, and God just nailed me. He said, you get up right now, you turkey. You know, you go home, get right with your wife. You come on over here lifting up your hands like I'm gonna, you know, you're going to enjoy my presence. You got to get right, you know. And so, and we don't want to be hypocrites. We need God's peace amongst our, between us and God, of course, but amongst ourselves as well. So it reminds us of that. You know, there were two women in the church in Philippi that were fighting. And Paul, how would you like to be named in Scripture, you know? And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." We need that peace with God. And sometimes that place of peace is just to sit down before the Lord and pour it out. At the same time, thanksgiving. Does that ring any bells? It's right out of the peace offering. It's right out of the peace offering. It's a picture. It's a New Testament peace offering. For us to come before the Lord and be thankful to the Lord for what He's done and to cry out to the Lord for our needs at the same time recognizing our dependency upon Him. Putting it all together, it's the peace offering. So what have we really offered to the Lord lately that says to Him, "Thank you, Lord, for providing for me"? I'm totally dependent upon You. I just want to show You, Lord, how much I am thankful. And so I'm going to offer You something really fatty. I'm going to offer You the best. I wanted to take that and buy something for myself. I've really wanted it for a long time. Does everybody understand? And I'm just going to, "It's Yours, Lord." That's hard to do. But that'll be something that'll adjust your priorities. You know, most of the time we give to the Lord what's the leftovers. You know, whether it's our time or our finances or whatever else, or you know, our service to the Lord. But when's the last time we really said to the Lord in an act of worship like that, that I'm dependent upon You and I'm so thankful for what You've given me? Belongs to Him anyway. So that we can be bound together with the Lord. That's the peace offering. And remember, in that, those that are less fortunate around us. And let's not offer a peace offering before the Lord like that and at the same time have trouble in our hearts towards somebody else in the body of Christ. That doesn't work. The peace offering is all over the New Testament. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful." Both aspects of the peace offering. And then Ephesians 4:3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." It's that unity together. Peace with God, peace with each other. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, it's true that we don't know much about these things, and we're so thankful, Lord, that You're teaching us. And in a lot of ways, we can no longer claim ignorance. Lord, work in us so that we're willing to be or to bring to You something that You're worthy of, Lord, something that we would love to just spend on ourselves or whatever it might be, Lord, and just to give that over to You, the best that we have to offer. To You, Lord, because You're so deserving. Lord, we're thankful for Your provision for us. We've got so much. And Lord, we want to reiterate our dependency upon You, knowing, God, that we're dependent upon You for everything, even our next breath. Lord, thank You for reminding us that this is voluntary. this is something, Lord, that if we do, that you're pleased by it. And there's a sweet aroma that goes up to you in this offering, Lord. Lord, thank you for speaking to us tonight, Lord. Things that we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And we ask these things, Lord. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed by saying, Amen.